Okay, so back to the Mishnah again. So we had extensively looked at Ein Tzaddin, the problem of fishing on Yontif. I do want to just point out something that maybe I should have made clearer before. We talked about the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi's claim that it's only permitted to do malachot lochal nefesh milisha ve'elach. And we went with the Rishonim, who said, well, that proves to you that you can't fish on Yom Tov, because fishing is not milisha ve'elach. Now, that works according to Tosfos, who thinks that fishing is kotzer. But the truth is that milisha ve'elach only makes any sense when you're talking about sidura dipas, and in the process of making bread. So there's the list, right? You know, zareya choresh, choresh zareya. The Gemara has that discussion. And in, you know, in that list, you have, I think it's 11 malachos that have to do with making bread. And the Gemara says, in that list, it's Elisha Ve'elach. But the truth is, Tzad is not even in that list, because it's not in Sidura Dipas. So actually applying the Yerushalmi to Tzad is a bit complicated. And that's really what's behind the Ramban's Shita, that Elisha Ve'elach doesn't mean leash only in Sidur Depas, it's what that represents. That only from the stage in the processes, which is about processing food rather than obtaining food. So you sort of take the conceptual background of Milisha Ve'elach, and then you apply it across the board. So that's just a point that should be made. Okay. But then the Gemara had said, Ve'nos nathnehem mizonos, that you don't give food to the animals either on Yom Tov. Aval tzadin chayev ofa of min habibrin, etc. But you can hunt and fish from these enclosed places, and that is what we've seen. But we had skipped over this question of the ein nosen lifnehem mizono. So the question we really need to ask is, why can't you feed the animals, and what is the connection between clause 1 and clause 2? Meaning, when we say you can't fish on Yom Tov, and then we say, and you can't give food to them, are those two different statements? Are those two related statements? If they're related, how related are they? And that is the source of an extensive machlokas rishonim. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ve'ein nosnin lifnei hadogim mizonos. So Rashi says, you don't give them food. Va'afilu l'man d'yomar nefesh behema b'mashma hani milei d'mizonos on alecha. Aval dagim efshar lehem below mizonos shehein ochlim sharshei asavim v'karka v'gadol ochel es hakatam. So Rashi says that these two things are not related. And he says, why can't you feed fish? So he says something quite striking, which is that we've seen earlier on that there was a machlokes in the Gemara, ochel nefesh. When we say that you can do malacha on Yom Tov, does that include animals or not? And we saw a machlokes on Daf Chaf Aleph, whether the limitation is from non-Jews or from animals, right? Is it that you can only feed Jews and not non-Jews, or you can only do malacha for Jews, meaning human beings, and not for animals? So Rashi says that this is connected, presumably, to that sugya, though not dependent on it entirely. Meaning what? So, you know, actually, you know what? Before we fully flesh out Rashi, look at the Balamor. The Balamor, number 2 here, takes the simple equation. He says this has nothing to do with seida, this has to do with pure feeding. And he says as follows, V'had pasuk arif zal, k'rab yosi aglili damar lachem lo liklavim. Says that which the Rif paskins, like Rabbi Yosi aglili, that is forbidden to cook, let's say, for animals, lo nirali dvarav, I don't agree. Why don't I agree? The Amar Le Abayla Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef Aglili, Hani Sufsele Lechiyus Eichashad Hechi Shadin La Biyomatova, Vitzrichale Lishenuye Bishenuye Dechike Udloke Hilchasa. So the first reason is that in that sugya, if you remember, the Gemara there had a whole discussion of throwing these these leftovers on the table. The what? to the animals. And Gemara had all types of answers. What's going on? But he says it's very dachut. It's very, the answers aren't compelling, and therefore we don't bask in that way. It was these pits, if you remember. So he said, well, maybe they're not mukta because they're, you can burn them. Besides for that whole discussion, the Mishnah says, Afilu b'Shabbos v'kol shekein b'yom tov. Says, well, we also learn in the Mishnah that you're allowed to cut up an avela, an animal that died, to give it to animals, even on Shabbos and sure on Yom Tov. V'tzadin chayev ha'ov min habibarin b'yom tov, v'nosin lefneihem mizonos. And you're allowed to fish certain types of animals, and you're allowed to give them food. So you say that you're allowed to feed animals on Yom Tov. Now, the Baal Mor, right, seems to think that from the fact that you can give food to the animals, so that means that we paskin that lochem v'lo l'klavim. Wait, we paskin against lochem v'lo l'klavim. You're allowed to feed food to animals on Yom Tov. And he says, "Heich ish or litkos kol elu mishna mishna yechida. This is klavim shenishtanes shenishnes kerbi yosi aglili avgav grara deiru v'shitu bracha v'zimun v'chala matzo pesach." So how are you going to reject all these other proofs in favor of one Gemara that sounds like we do paskin like Rabbi Yosi aglili? So the Baal Mor thinks that the fact that you're allowed to feed animals proves that we paskin that ochel nefesh includes animals on Yom Tov. Now Rashi also thinks that the question of whether or not you can feed animals is related to the ochel nefesh question, but in a different way. Right? He says again, Rashi had said, "Vein nosnin lefnei hadagim mizonos." But you can't give them food. And he said, even if you think you are allowed to feed them, Rashi says, what's the difference? So the Baal Mor derived from our sugya that the fact that you're allowed to give certain animals, not all animals, but any animals food, teaches you that we paskin, that ochel nefesh includes animals. Let's come back to how he understands why you can't give certain animals. But he said the fact that you give animals at all food proves that we paskin ochel nefesh applies to animals. Rashi says no. Even if you think that nefesh behema is included in ochel nefesh, that's only animals that are yours. Because your animals, you're responsible for. If you're responsible for, so then, according to the position that ochel nefesh includes animals, you have to feed them. Aval dagim efshar lehem b'lo mazono, shein ochlim shor she'asavim v'karkav v'gadol ochel takotet. But fish don't need you. Fish can eat the other fish. They can eat the algae or whatever they eat, the vegetation in the water, and therefore they don't need you. And if they don't need you, there's no heter for ochel nefesh. So, what you see from Rashi is that he thinks that these are two completely different sugyas. He thinks, Ein sadin dagin min habibarim b'yom tov is a problem of efshar mi be'od yom. And Ein nosin lefnei mizonos, for fish as opposed to animals, right? Animals he's going to think you can, in the bibar, at least, is because ochel nefesh is limited to animals under your control, even to the position that ochel nefesh b'mashma. And what's implied by Rashi is that, let's say you paskin like Rabbi Yosi ha'glili, that lochem v'lo l'klavim, that ochel nefesh doesn't include animals, so then you wouldn't even need to explain this, right? You wouldn't be able to feed them at all, right? Meaning, what Rashi is implying is that if you paskin that nefesh behema is excluded from ochel nefesh, then presumably not only can't you give mizonos to the fish that you Rashi thinks Right. Right. Rashi is saying that even according to the Shita of things that you that Ochel Nefesh does include animals, he won't allow you to feed fish. And maybe
why? Because
he says, what is Ochel Nefesh? Oh right, Ochel Nefesh is you're only allowed to feed those who need it. But fish don't need it. So clause one of Ein Sadin is a problem of Efshar Mibod Yom. And Ein Nosin is a question of is it within Ochel Nefesh or not? Fish, he says, are never Ochel Nefesh, according to anybody.
What if they're in a tank?
What? So presumably in a tank, right? Something like that. He might actually think. So according to Rashi, probably, you'd have to wonder, right? It would probably be that according to Rashi, fish in a fish tank, according, so he would say it depends. If you paskin that nefesh behema b'mashma, you could feed them. If you paskin a nefesh behema b'mashma, you couldn't. Right? Now the Balamor looks at this sugya and says the opposite, right? A knows the name is onos, only under certain circumstances, and tells you, but the fact that sometimes you can give them proves that we bichlal don't paskin nefesh behema is excluded from ochel nefesh. And therefore, he implies that it must be a totally different problem. But Rashi just bites that bullet and says, no, this sugya is about Ochel Nefesh. It's about Ochel Nefesh, right? The Balamor says, if it were about Ochel Nefesh, it would prove that we don't paskin. Yeah.
If I have an animal that I'm not feeding them to trap them, and whatever food I'm going to give them isn't muksa, and was already cooked before Yantif and Shabbos, what's the idea of feeding them?
Perfect. Now, the big problem with Rashi, right? So, again, Rashi Shita, right? So, the first question he asks is, okay, is there a connection between clause 1 and clause 2? Rashi answers the question and says no, right? Ein Sadin is a problem of Ochel Nefesh, Efshar Mivod Yom. Not feeding animals not in your control, right, or fish at all, is a problem of Ochel Nefesh because you're only allowed to feed. Any right? If you hold ochel nefesh b'ma, eino ochel nefesh b'ma. Ochel nefesh does not include animals, so then you can't feed any animals, presumably. If
you have to cook it.
Well, hold that thought, right? If you hold, according to Rashi, that no nefesh behema b'mashma, he says still, if they don't need you, you couldn't feed them at all. But the big kasha that everybody asks is exactly what Alan said: is wait a second, let's take a step back. What are you even talking about? I get Rashi doesn't connect clause 1 and clause 2. But what? Why do I need Ochel Nefesh? What exactly am I talking about here? Meaning, Ochel Nefesh means I violated a malacha. Ochel Nefesh means I'm allowed to do malacha for food. Where does Rashi, or for that matter, the Balamor, get off? Rashi uses our sugya to make a claim about the limits of Ochel Nefesh. The Balamor at least agrees with Rashi that if you are allowed to feed animals, that proves something about Ochel Nefesh. But take a step back. What are you talking about? We're not talking. What are you cooking for the fish, right? You're throwing bread or you're throwing fish food to them. What are you talking about? How is this? For Rashi, right? How is it for Rashi, it usher Misham Ochel Nefesh, and how, according to Balamor, to the fact that we allow you to feed any animals, prove anything about Ochel Nefesh? We're not talking about a malacha here, right? Everyone just looks at this and says, what are you even talking about? I don't even know how we got into this discussion.
Unless you connect.
What?
Unless you connect.
Ah, but right now he hasn't, right? So we're going to see. But let's start with Rashi, right? First, Rashi disconnects. Great. That much I get. But what is Rashi talking about? It's almost impossible to fathom what he's even saying. So
Rashi's saying the fish is not under your domain.
Yeah, but so what? What malacha are you doing?
It's not a malacha. Well, unless it's part of catching it.
Ah, but he doesn't think that, right? Tosos thinks that. We're going to come back to it, but Tosos doesn't think that. Rashi just says it's fundamentally problematic because of Ochel Nefesh. We're going to see. Other Rashis are going to say it's muksa. Other are going to say it's tircha, right? So some are going to say it's, right, Rashi in one place is going to say it's tircha and it's muksa, and Tosas is going to say it's gzeir mishum tzeder. We're going to see all these positions. But Rashi right here and the Balamor both think that this sugya in some way speaks to Ochel Nefesh. So you have two ways of dealing with this. One way is to say, in a chanami, it must be he's talking about whether it was a malacha. Now, what malacha is there? Right? Fish food? Like, what are you doing? So Let me just find where I put this. Here, 12. I put it in 12. In 12, the Maharam says there must be a malacha, right? He agrees with Alan. He says, I don't know what Rashi's talking about, meaning Rashi's telling you that you can't feed fish because they're not under the head of Ochel Nevesh. Or the Balamor, on the other hand, says, oh, the fact that you can feed fish proves that we paskin that Ochel Nevesh does apply to animals. So he said, it must be, you're talking about where you did a malacha. What malacha? You probably don't cook for fish. He said, okay, but you, so what's the obvious one that he's going to jump to? Hutzah. Must be that they're outside and you're in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And the Gemara is assuming they... The problem is that you're going to be taking the food from your house into the pond. And the pond's in Rosh Hashanah Rabim.
On Yom Tov?
On Yom Tov. And that's the problem. Right? Rashi isn't telling you, but according to that, Maram says, that even Rashi would be modeh, that let's say this was a stream in your backyard and it was fenced in or something. It'd be fine. Right? He can't fathom, like, what is Rashi talking about? So this is Maram number 12. It says, Barashi, yesh ladaktik. When is Rashi talking about that it's usur because of ochel nefesh to feed animals that aren't under your auspices, that you don't have responsibility towards? Hainuk show says a malacha, but tikkun machalon. It must be you vited a malacha. Kagona, fia, maybe you baked. I mean, maybe you did. Maybe you baked a loaf of bread. You're a fish, love bread. I don't know, right? Ubishal, you cooked for them. Avalach, zerk, levne, adagim, mazonos, my malacha, kavid. What are you doing? Svitzerach, lomar, lefi, rashi, other than the season, no, levne, mazonos, having nami, perusha, chasr, laz, zed, malacha. Maybe Rashi just means that, that it's usher to do a malacha. Kedil, atakin, lahem, mazonos. Velitin lefem, it doesn't mean you can't feed them. Ein notion in lefem zonas doesn't mean you can't feed them. You can feed fish on Yom Tov. It means you can't cook food for fish, or you can't carry. Inami shlomer demasha zorik hamizonos l'docha bibar and have a karmelis. Or he says maybe simply throwing into the stream itself is also because it's a karmelis. It's not daraisa, right? Because there's an arabim in it, but it's a karmelis. It's a dirabanan rishas harabim.
Did Rashi hold that you couldn't carry an yom?
Well, you can't. So the Maram is assuming that Rashi must hold that Hotzah is not mutter entirely, mitoch, or, as we saw earlier, that if you're doing it for an usher party, it brings the usher back. Right? That was Tosfos' formulation on Daf Yud Beis. But something like that. Where he says, Hevi malacha shemotzi mishush l'rishus. And then he goes on to Tosfos. But the Maram says, it must be, the fact that Rashi says that this is about ochel nefesh, it must be you're doing a malacha, because otherwise, ochel nefesh is a rule in malachos. But there is another possibility. And this is part of a very weird, striking shita that Rashi has. That all the Acharonim love. The Acharonim are obsessed with this Rashi because, you know, Acharonim love really, really lumdish. Sometimes the Rishonim. The Rishonim don't usually come up with a very, very formalistic as far as in the way the Acharonim do. We're like, we tease it out of them. But sometimes the Rishonim just say things that are so, you know, abstract and conceptual, the Acharonim will eat it up. So there's one Rashi like that. So this was the Derech that I heard in the Sugya from Reb Lichtenstein. So that's all. So Lachon's in a different approach. He disagreed with Maharam. He said, it can't be. When you read Rashi, Rashi doesn't say, I mean, I understand what compelled the Maharam to say that in Rashi, but look at Rashi. Where does he say it? He says nothing. He just says, feeding fish is a violation of Ochel Nefesh. Why in God's name is feeding fish a violation of Ochel Nefesh? He doesn't say you cooked for your fish. He doesn't say you baked for your fish. He also doesn't say that the fish is it's a karmelis, which in the end is dirabanan. He says it's a deraisa problem of ochel nefesh. What case is there a problem of deraisa? Like, when is this happening? So, look at number 13. This is Rashi and Daf Chavazayin Amud Beis. So Rashi says, he's talking about what to do with challah shenitmia on Yom Tov. Right? If you have challah, you're mafresh challah, so now it's kadosh, and then it becomes tameh. So the halacha normally is you should burn it. Well, that's what we do with ours, right? We burn our challah, right? Your mafresh challah, we burn it because, or, you know, you could do what you do with truma and stuff like that, which is feed it to kohanim's animals because they can eat truma tameh, they can eat challah tameh, and that's what they do in Israel, the zoos, right? The zoos, they eat. Hmm. You know this trick? I don't know if Rabbi Slifkin talked about it last week, but he made a big deal of it last year, that in Israel what they do is the zoos, the animals, are owned halachically by Kohanim. And the halacha is that the animals of a Kohen are allowed to eat truma, even truma tmeya. So in Israel, because the Rabbanut is mafresh on all the produce in the country, so normally they would just destroy it because the Kohanim are all tameh. But if they sell the zoos to the Kohanim, so you have all this food that otherwise would go to waste, and they ship all this produce to the zoos, and they feed, because they're halachically the pets of some Kohen. So that's what Rabbi Slifkin did in his zoo, and that's what the biblical zoo does in Yerushalayim. So Rashi says, what do you do with the with Chalosh HaNitma? So Rashi says, Ein Aruot in the Kohen Hayom, Dabachila Sura La'olam. So Rashi says, well, on Yom Tov, you can't, the Kohen can't do anything with it. Why? Because he can't eat it because it's Aser, right? It's Chala Tmeya. You can never eat it. Now, what are the other things a Kohen can do with his Truma? So we mentioned, one of them is burn it, and he can use it for fuel. Right? You're allowed to take Truma or Chala Tmeya, and you're allowed to burn it for fuel if you want. The other is you're allowed to give it to your animals. Right? You're allowed to feed it to your animals like this, like the biblical zoo or Rabbi Slifkin's zoo. Did he talk about a zoo at all? I was down south. I have an excuse. I don't know.
He talked about the parrot that he has there that makes a bracha on himself about being a wonderful creature.
Wow, that is a frum parrot. Wow.
Beyond that, he didn't say much about the actual zoo.
Oh, okay. Anyways, so but here's the kasha that Rashi has is, well, why don't you, if you have Chalat Tmei on Yom Tov, why don't you just feed it to the Kohen's animals? What could be wrong with that? He's allowed to eat it. So he says, Vasaka, I understand why you can't burn it. Okay, you can't burn it. Great. Sreves Kachem is Aser. O Lisita Lekalbo Bi Yom Tov Aser. You can't give it to your animal either. Now why? So there's a Xeris HaKasa that tells you you aren't allowed to do Havar. You aren't allowed to do Sreifa. Sreifas kachem on Yom Tov. So that's why you can't burn the challah for fuel on Yom Tov. There's exeris akasov. You can't burn truma. You can't burn kachem on Yom Tov. But Rashi says you also can't feed the truma to your animal, the challah to your animal. Why? So he says, de'ein mevarin kachem tmeim min olam b'yom tov. You can't destroy kachem from the world on Yom Tov. Va'afilu al yidei achilas behema. And even to feed the food to an animal, the kaimalon shein sorfin kachim b'yom tov. Why? Because we don't burn kachim on Yom Tov. Velo tema dafka sreifa. Don't tell me burning means burning, because what's the word? The word isn't burning, it's mevair. Mevair has two meanings. Mevair either means fire, or it means get rid of. Says velo tema dafka sreifa. Don't tell me the only reason that you can't burn kadshim on yantif is because it's burning and it's havara, not for ochel nefesh. No. Because the Gemara tells you that you can't even burn shemen tmeya in your candle. That's litzorech. Everyone agrees for light is ochel nefesh. But you're not allowed to do it anyways, which means that you're not allowed to do it for a need. Adlokas ner biyomto litzorech achila hi umuteres. Afilu achi, still b'shemen sreifa lo, not by shemen sreifa. V'hu shemen truma shenitmeis the gzeras hakosuvhi she'ein kodshim tmei misbarim in a yom tov v'dimsram b'yom tov. You can't destroy kodshim that's tamei on yom tov. And then he says the key: the rachmana achshava lahavarasan. The Torah, by telling you it was aser, deemed it significant. Because it says, in fire shall burn. Hilkach malacha, and therefore it's a malacha. But what does Rashi say? Havara. It should mean burning, but it doesn't. It means destruction. And anything which is halachically recognized as permitted destruction is considered significant. And therefore, feeding your animal challah tmei on Yom Tov is aser. Mishum Havara's Kadshim. Mishum Srefa's Kadshim. Because if the Torah justified getting rid of Kadshim, that's Tameh, by feeding it to your animal, that must mean that that act is halachically a malacha, even though it's not a malacha. But by the fact that the Torah recognizes it as a means by which you can destroy Trum or Kachim, that gives it significance and makes it a malacha.
What does that do with Chulin?
What? So Rulachantin said, well, now you understand Rashi. Because lachem velo liklavim means that feeding animals is a category of halachically significant but forbidden acts on Yom Tov. And Rashi tells you, feeding an animal is called havara. That in a case where feeding an animal is called significant, he tells you, like I said, this is a very harnish svara, but Rashi says it befeirush.
So like right? A faith,
Inochanami. But he says it.
You need to say it that abstractly. Instead
it's
of saying
abstraction.
No, instead of saying that it makes it equivalent to malacha, you can say that it makes it
a significant act or something.
No. Make it more concrete and say that it makes it equivalent to burning.
It makes it right, makes it
vara. It's a category of burning, and burning is a malacha.
Or something like that. Right? However, either it makes it a significant usher act or it makes it cane burning or something. Whatever exactly Rashi is saying.
Siog on the Siog. So
but not Siog. He's saying it's Daraisa. You think Daraisa.
No, it's not Daraisa. The animal makes not it.
What?
Because not Kutch. It's not
Daraisa. No, because you find the Lushan of Be'ira also.
Oh, no. Rashi is saying. No, so Rashi is saying that. No, so the ownership only makes a difference because Rashi says that Mamanafshach, either you hold...
Like a fire that can go into your neighbor's field or sending your animal free until you're... The Shalachas Be'iro.
Right. I mean, I'll come back to the linguistic point in a second. Let me just answer Howie's question. So Howie's point was... Right, so the ownership issue is just that Rashi says Mamanafshach. If you hold that Ochel Benet... That Ochel Nevesh doesn't include animals at all, so obviously it's Usur. Then Rashi says, but what if you hold that Ochel Nevesh does include animals? He says, no, it only includes your animals, but any animal that isn't yours or isn't Menzonos Nalecha, then that act would be Usur under Ochel Nevesh, or the lack thereof. That's what all Rashi's saying, right? He's saying there's two possibilities. Either it's Usur Legamre, or it's Usur if you aren't responsible for it. But either way, the point is it's outside of Ochel Nefesh explicitly.
But you have the rest of the Mishnah, which says that for your animals, you can get them Mizrach.
Correct. So Rashi says, right, this Mishnah must hold like the position of, like this is like the Balamor, right? It must paskin like the position that Ochel Nefesh includes animals, but even that position will limit it to animals that belong to you, and therefore fish you can't feed, and animals you could feed, according to that position. Implied is if you held Ochel Nevesh doesn't include animals, you couldn't even feed this, right? And that's what the Balmor assumes as well, right? That this Gemara is contingent on that. Now,
what about Shreves Kutch from the Beis Hamikdash? Did they forget about that?
No, the Beis Hamikdash has its own rules, but you can't do Hektar. You can't do Hektar, right? You don't do Hektar.
Before they had Beis Hamikdash, they had Bumas.
There's a whole discussion of how that works in Shabbos. That's a discussion in Tzvachim. Tzvachim, right? How exactly the Shabbos issues work in Bamas is a discussion at the end of Tzvachim. So, like I said, Rashi Shita is sort of wild, but he says it explicitly. Like, this is not some Achron making some diuk. Like, Rashi is about as explicit as you could possibly get. Now, the truth is, and this is coming back to David's point, is this play on words is actually relevant in many areas of Torah in sort of surprising ways. Just to rattle them up, Yosef is one of the biggest Talmidei Chachamim I know, hands down. So at some point we made a list of all the times that we knew of in Shas and Poskim that this play on Lo Sivaru and the double meaning of Devar became important. So this is one of them. Another is the Minchas Chinuch quotes the Rimi Nicholsberg, I think, somewhat me Nicholsberg, who has this fascinating svara. The Gemara says that you aren't allowed to administer punishment on Shabbos. Why? Because the Gemara says that it says Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshoseichem, and one of the Onshei Bezdin is Sreifa. And from Sreifa, we derive that just like you can't do sreifa on Shabbos, you can't do any of any punishment on Shabbos. So most Rishonim and Achronim understand that to mean it's like a hekesh of sorts, right? Once or a gilim milsa. Once you know you can't do sreifa, you also can't do other punishments. But the Rimi Nicholsberg says no. when the Gemara says lo sivaru eish bechol moshu seichem, it doesn't mean you can't do sreifa. It isn't playing on the meaning of the word havar es sreifa. It's playing on the word uvi arta harami kirbecha, that the pasuk that describes when Bezdin gets rid of criminals is you shall expunge evil from your midst, and we call it uviarta. So Rimi Nicholsberg says any punishment, even excommunication, which has no malacha at all, is usher because it's a kiyum of uviarta. And the halacha is lo, right, lo sevaru, that you can't do an act of bi, or even one which doesn't have fire. That was one. That was two. The third was the Maram Chalava, has in the first parak of we had to like sort of spread our net very wide here, but right, the Maram Chalava, yeah. Right, all the Rishonim ask, why do you make the bracha val bir chametz on bedika? So most of the Rishonim say because it's hachana for bedika. Sorry, bedika is hachana for bir, but he says no. When we say that you have to get rid of chametz al bir chametz, we don't mean burning. We mean getting rid of. Part of getting rid of is finding. Bedika is a kiyum of biur. There's another one in terms of the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. It's machlokas rishonim, but Rabbeinu Tam shita in terms of what does biur shvius mean? Does biur shvius mean destroying, or does it mean getting it out of your house? Right, which is yet another application. But you see it here that Rashi thinks that this notion of lo sivaru doesn't mean don't burn. It means that any destruction is halachically assimilated in some sense into the isser of havar, that the two definitions play off of each other. So therefore, v'lachem sin zed, what you see is that what does Rashi probably hold? That Rashi is lishitaso. It's a radical shita, but this is not some achronish diuk in Rashi. Rashi says it as explicitly as you can. But this is why the Achronim love this Rashi. They celebrate and dance on this Rashi. They write on it. Everyone writes on this Rashi because it's so formal. But the truth is, it's not even the only time Rashi says it. This is one explicit, one implicit, but he has a third time where he says it. So you look at number 14, 15, 16. 14, the Gemara, in the case we just talked about, Bir Chametz. So the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hachi, Ach V'yom HaRishon, Dashbishu So'or Mibateichem. You have to get rid of, right, leaven from your houses, Mer of Yom Tov. You have to get rid of it before Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, O'inu Ela B'Yom Tov Atzmo. How do you know you have to get rid of it before Yom Tov? Maybe it means you have to get rid of it on Yom Tov. Talmud Lomar. No, the Pasuk tells you that when you shecht the Korban Pesach, you can't have any chametz, which tells you that by the time you enter the zman of the shechita of the Korban Pesach, so meaning halfway through the day, on Pesach, Erev Pesach, you need to already get rid of your chametz. It's a Pesach. V'adayin chametz kayim. Don't shecht the Korban Pesach while you still have chametz. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's the position of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Rabbi Kiva says, "I don't need that." Harei Omer. Ach b'yom harishon tashbisu so'or mibateichem. It says that on the first day, get rid of leaven from your house. Uksiv, and it says, "Kol malacha lo yaseh vahem," that you can't do malacha. Umatzinu lehavara shi'av malacha. And we know that havara is an av malacha. Burning is an av malacha. So since you need to destroy chametz, so then, you need to. It must be that you destroyed it before Yom Tov. So then, the Gemara continues. Amar Rava, Shema Mino Midi Rabbi Kiva Klas. From Kiva, we derive three positions: Shema Mina Ein Bir Chametz El Esrifa. The first thing is that Bir Chametz is only through burning. Shema Mina Havar L'Chalek Yotzes, and that Havar is its own malacha. We don't just matir havar across the board. So Rashi says that diash basa so behold over svirle lukma biyom tov. He said why? Because if you could have gotten rid of chametz in any way, so then ve'avirenu b'davar acher, get rid of it some other way. Yachilenu leklavim ashelchenu yom, feed it to the animals or throw it into the sea. So Pnei Yeshua said, wait a second, I don't understand. Rashi thinks that feeding food to animals is havara. So how can Rashi say that if you held that you were allowed to get rid of chametz in any way, that you'd be allowed to feed it to animals? Shouldn't it be havara? So the Pnei Yeshua says something very clever, and he says, no, be very careful in what Rashi said and what Rashi didn't say. What did Rashi say by Kadshim? When is feeding an animal called havara? If Havara is the category you're trying to fulfill. Right? Meaning if, really, what are your two options with Kachim, Sreifa, or Havara b'chol davar? But what does that mean? That Achilas Behema is replacing Sreifa. If Achilas Behema is replacing a Malacha, so then it's Aser. But what happens if you say Hashbasaso b'chol davar? So then you don't need burning. So then, what is Achilas Behema replacing? Nothing. It's just Achilas Behema.
Right.
So he says, "Omnam achalai hiyu nira li liyashiv divadai b'midei de'ikur mitzvaso b'sreifa dafka binan sheimush beis legamre min ha'olam." He said, "If you think that really Bior Chametz is burning because it needs to be destroyed from the world." Then you couldn't solve the problem by feeding it to a dog if you couldn't practically burn it. Because then you're transforming it into malacha. If you require beer, not burning, but you circumvent that problem by feeding it to animals, what are you really doing? You're just feeding it to animals as a replacement for burning. But that is called sreifa. That's usser. The zeshikas of Rashi beveitzah derachmona achshar veilis sreifa so. So when does Rashi say that giving to an animal is called burning? That's dechsev beish, rai beish tisareif. When it says burn. Umitzvaso biuro min haolam. Hainu malacha dekapit rachmona shlo lasas beyomtov. That's when its destruction is a malacha. But if you think that you don't have to burn it, then you wouldn't learn it. This is all a limit from Nosar, which I cut out. But so then you don't have to destroy it from the world. Then it's not, there's no chiyuv of destruction. You just have to get rid of it so that you don't violate Bal Yiraya. Im Cain, Afim Yashlechen Eloklovim, Lekam Alacha, Kevin Shein Mechuyav Levaro Min Olam. So then you're not obligated because you don't have to destroy it. Umimela Lo Avishayach Lomar, Rachman Achshavet. So then you can't say that the Torah turned it into Sreva, Kevin Del Yalef Minosar. So what does the Pnei Yeshua point out? The Rashi doesn't say that feeding to animals is always a Malacha. What does he say? It always depends on what is it replacing. And what is it replacing? How does the Torah view it? So he says, if it's kadshim, since your options are burning it or giving it to an animal, that means that giving it to an animal replaces avara. Memela, it's aser, it's considered a malacha. If you paskin that the only way to get rid of chametz is through burning, but you circumvent the problem by giving it to an animal, so that's aser, because you're replacing burning by feeding it to an animal. If you think that the iser of chametz is just get it out of your rishus, so the animal is incidental. But now bringing it back to our sugya, what does Rashi say? Rashi says, if you hold that there's an explicit pasuk that says, lochem velo liklavim, that means achilas behema is considered usr. It's a malacha. Right here, it doesn't have to replace havara, it has to replace any malacha. And he says, yeah, because anytime the Torah tells you explicitly that there's a problem with feeding to animals, so then it becomes intrinsically a malacha. In the case of kadshim, it becomes burning. In the case of ochel nefesh, simply feeding animals, because there's the pasuk that tells you lochem v'lo liklavim, so if you do it liklavim, that's a violation of achasher yachal ochel nefesh, who livado yeyosa lochem, that's the only thing you're allowed to do. But if it's who livado, then anything which is not that is chashuv, according to the Torah, liyasur. And therefore, Rav Lichtenstein suggested it's not what the Maharam said. It's not that Rashi is telling you technically you can't feed the animal if you're going to violate a different malacha. This is Rashi lishitaso. That whenever the Torah goes out of its way to be machshiv, feeding animals, it becomes a malacha. It becomes havara, it becomes malacha, whatever you want to call it. Just like he says by kadshim explicitly, And then with the Pnei Yeshua's addition of why he doesn't say it for Rabbi Akiva, is again, it's only when the Torah goes out of its way to give that chashivas to feeding animals, and that's sort of like Lechonsin understood the Shita of Rashi. Where which is, like I said, really lumdish. But sometimes you can't help it. Rashi says it. I don't know. You know, there's nothing you can do. Yeah.
Okay. If we say that Rashi is saying on our Gemara that he does not hold by Ochel Nefesh for behemoths,
which are not Mizonos and Alecha.
Okay. How do you separate that Malecha then? So you're saying that if there is no Ochel Nefesh on animals, then why is there a distinction on those that are dependent upon?
Because the same way cooking for a Jew is mutter, cooking for a Jew for tomorrow is usher. Right? Meaning, you can split, we split that all the time by Ochel Nefesh, right? It's a Jew today. So he says the same type of distinction exists by the. So according to him, it's animals who are, presumably, where does Rashi get this notion from? From one word, lochem. Right? Hu levado yasa lochem. You can do it for you. Right. But if the animal doesn't need you, then even if you hold nefesh behema bimashma, it's not lochem. And once it's not lochem, it's not hu levado. Right? It's not the only thing you're... Right? The only thing you're allowed to do is that which is lochem. So he says, even if you hold nefesh behema bimashma, it's only yours. It's only mizonos and alecha, where you're needed to give it food. If not, then it's out of lochem. I assume that's where Rashi gets it from.
Back in the other Gemara, where it says, with Rabbi Yossi, Glili Lachem below the clavim. Those are clavim that were under his ownership?
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Correct.
So
So he's saying Mamanashach. He said, if you hold like Rabbi Yossi Glili, there's no kasha. According to Rabbi Yossi Glili, it's us to feed any animals.
Right.
He says, but even according to Rabbi Kiva, who says you can feed animals, Rabbi Kiva will limit it to your animals, that mizonos and alecha, the animals that need you. If they don't need you, then even Rabbi Akiva, we moted Rosh Haglila, those animals are not on Tol Nefesh. He's not poskening here, he's just telling you that this Gemara is Bein Rabbi Akiva, Bein Rabbi Yossi Haglili. On the other hand, the Balamor, at a certain level, seems to hold like Rashi, because he says that feeding animals, in order to matter feeding animals at all, you have to poskin. That you have to pass on Rabbi Kiva, not Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Therefore, he derives from the fact that we can feed any animals that it must be we paskin like Rabbi Kiva, that Ochel Nefesh B'Mashma. But that assumes Rashi's Ochel Nefesh Svara. Now, we haven't gotten to that, the Balamor will read our Gemara, but he assumes like Rashi, seemingly, again, he could read like Maram, right? That you can't feed a. You can't feed animals only if there's a problem of a different malacha. But Pashtus, he holds like Rashi, is that there's a potential inherent problem with feeding animals. Rashi makes a distinction between mizonos and alecha or not. He presumably says no. If you hold animals or us, or it's all animals. If you hold animals or mutter, it's all animals.
So even Rashi is saying that there are exceptions to lachem, he's never holding like Rav Yossi Haglili.
He's not weighing in one way or the other. He's saying this Mishnah works, Bein Rabbi Kiva, Bein Rabbi Aglili. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it works because obviously it's Aser. According to Rabbi Kiva, it works because even if animals which are Alecha, Mizonos and Alecha, it's permitted. Animals which are not, everyone agrees is Aser. So he said, right, he's hedging, right? He's not telling you one way or the other. But that was how Rav Lichtenstein explained Rashi. This is Rashi Lishitasa, which is a bit of a... admittedly, quite a chiddush, but on the other hand, as I said, sometimes Rashi gives you these extremely conceptual constructs. We're not going to have time for too much more, but let's just get a Tosfos. This Rashi is a bit complicated. Oh well, I look back at my notes. I was like, because the first thing I did, I was looking at this Rashi. I'm like, oh, this is definitely connected to that other Rashi. And I'm like, I don't think I came up with that myself. I look back at my notes. I'm like, no, I didn't come back with it myself. I have said that. I have my notes. Okay. So at least I remembered that. Fine. So Tosfos, on the other hand, doesn't like this whole thing. Tosfos said, what are you talking about? I don't know what's going on here. But this is so off base. So Tosfos says, Peter Rashi, the Afal Gav did Ochel Nefesh. Sorry, that's the wrong Rashi. Next one, second Rashi. Ein Ochel Nemezonos. Peter Rashi, Dein Mezonos Olav the Ochelim Isev Hanimtze B'Mayim V'Gam Ochelim Afar Ugdolim Ochelim Akdarem V'Filim An Desharim Achas Sheochel Chol Nefesh Demashma Fil Behema V'Chol Makom Dagim Lahol Ein Mezonos Alecha. So the second one. Ein Ochel. I started the first one, then I realized it's the wrong one. Second one. So Frisch just quotes Rashi. Fine. Five lines in, he says, "Vitema." So, what are you talking about? Tigmara pare chorminu bibrin shal chaya va'of ein zaden vechulei. Mishani kamnu bibrakatan kamnu gadol. He said the Gemara goes through a whole discussion. A big bibar, a small bibar. He says, "Hash da teinach mitzeda litzeda taratz da shapir." So I get it. That helps you for tzeda, for hunting. El mizonos, my taratzta. But isn't the Gemara trying to explain the stira by nosin mizonos and nosin mizonos? If according to Rashi, there's no connection between clause 1 and clause 2, meaning clause 1 is about the iser of tzeda, clause 2 is an iser of a whole lumdish discussion about ochel nefesh, then why does answering the contradiction in the Gemara for tzeda? It doesn't say anything about, right, Rashi, the whole discussion about of Nosin and Lefnei Mizonos has nothing to do with the first clause. So how can you use the answer to Miyashi of the Stira? So he says it must be that clause 1 and clause 2 are connected. He said, Masnizan Rima Nosin Lefnei Mizonos, Bahasan Rima Ein Nosin Lefnei Mizonos. He said there's a contradiction in terms of food as well. That here we say Ein Nosin Lefnei Mizonos, and there we say Nosin Lefnei Mizonos. So when the Gemara says, Habibi Gabir Kata and Habibi Bergadol, it implies that if you're allowed to fish, you're allowed to feed. And if you're not allowed to fish, you're not allowed to feed. But according to Rashi, they're not connected clauses. Right, the fishing is about one thing, and the other one is about ochel nefesh independently.
But maybe the size of the beaver does make a difference in terms of the Rashi's spur also.
So Rashi says explicitly not, because Rashi says all fish can eat grass on the bottom of the. Now you could say maybe a small beaver doesn't have enough. It's like the fish tank, right? Doesn't have enough. Right, you could come up with a new kimta, right, and say yeah. What Rashi will say is no. It's a practical difference. A small beaver doesn't have enough. You know, grass, and it's like a fish tank, and even I would be moated that by a fish tank or a small bibar you'd be allowed to, or something like that. You know, Hanami. But Tosus is right that's, you know, you have to come up with some ukimtas to defend Rashi. You can do it. We can definitely defend Rashi with some ukimtas, but the simplest understanding is that clause 1 is connected to clause 2. Therefore, he says, L'kach nirali, d'ha talya b'ha, they're connected. Eat seida muteres, muter nami litin lefnei mizonos. If you're allowed a fish, you're allowed to feed. V'hachi perusha. Why is that true? Here's how the Mishnah goes. Ein zaden dogim min abibarim v'chulei. Ve'inos nufnei mezonos. Gzeira shema yitzudam. Tat seida shalahein en muteres b'yom tov. Very simple. You can't fish midaraisa. And if you can't fish, you can't feed. Because feeding is the first step of catching. And therefore, whenever you can't fish, you can't feed gzeira that you might fish them. But if you're allowed to fish them, you're allowed to feed them. Right? Very simple. Like, this is a very glot read of the Mishnah. And that's why one is contingent on the other. Whenever you're allowed to fish, so you're allowed to feed. Whenever you're not allowed to fish, you're not allowed to feed. And that's why any stira that can be resolved for fishing can be resolved for feeding. So however you answer for one, you answer for the other because they're contingent on each other.
Then it's just exam.
It's Gzeira Derabanan. Right, he says, that's it. It's very simple. It's Gzeira Derabanan. It's Gzeira Mishum Tzeida. Umikol Makom Kasha the Mashma Hacha the Hecha the Tzeida Shalan Asura Afil Lizrok Lem Mizonos Asur. He said, I still have a problem because it sounds like here that where you fish, where it's Asur to fish, it's even Asur to throw food at them. Right, that's what it sounds like, that you can't give them food no matter what, even if you're not coming close to them, right? You could, once you're saying it's a gzeira mishum tzeida, I can distinguish. There's a difference between coming close to them and giving them food and throwing it from a distance where I'm not there. Right, you could have come up, but the Gemara doesn't.
Right?
The Yeshlama does a mai, the Shabbos, the Chomer, the Cholnevish, Osir, the Shaykh, the Migzar, Shemayikach, man, the Hachamar, the Yomtov, the Cholnevish, Mutter, Gazrin, and Dilmak, Shita, and Mazonos, Shemayitzu, Bahem. He said, look, on Shabbos, I could hear you making a distinction, because on Shabbos, no one's going to come to fish. So we can be dafka more makil in terms of when we tell you you can't feed. But he says on Yom Tov, because so many ochel nefesh things are mutter, right? We need more gzeros, right? It's one of those times when Yom Tov becomes more chamor. So he says in Shabbos, it's true that it says that you're allowed to throw to them. But he says that's Shabbos, because on Shabbos, okay, you throw food to them.
We should make tashlich on
what? Right, but we haven't got to the practical. But he's saying theoretically, where I can be open to more kulas, and maybe throwing would be mutter on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov I won't because of gezerah. But Pachod Yoter, Tosfos's read is quite smooth here, right? He just says, look, it's a gezerah. The first clause tells you you're not allowed to fish because it's seida, and for whatever reason, seida is usher we've talked about. If it's usher to fish. So because on Yom Tov we're so worried that you're going to get caught up and you're going to think everything that is Ochel Nefesh esque is mutter.
So according to Tosos, even if you have a tank, you might not be able to do it?
No, it's fine, because if it's a Biber Katan, that's exactly his point. The Gemara says that if it's a Biber Katan, and a tank is for sure.
Anything, where you shouldn't...
He says, but if it's a Biber Katan, right, so what? You always have to ask with their Rabbanans. You have to... What?
You're saying there's no
Isur Seda by Biber
Katan.
Correct,
by Biber Katan. But if it's still some type of action that's similar to...
Correct, but there I'm not... So you're going to have to say that what he's going to say is, look, Biber Katan, you're allowed to fish. If you're allowed to fish, why am I going to say you're not going to feed? What's going to happen? You're going to end up fishing. You're allowed to fish. Throwing when you're not allowed to fish is a problem because you're going to be involved in fishing.
Right.
Right, he's saying there's a difference between something which... where it might lead to an usher act of tzeda, even if it's far removed, rather than one which might lead to a mutter act of tzeda. I don't have to make a gzera against mutter act of tzeda. So that's right, Tosfos is going to say. But Tosfos' read is really glot, right? Rashi has these ukimtas. You're going to have to say, okay, whatever. We're not really related, but they're sort of related, because maybe I could come up with a case where you have a bibar that it's so small that they have no food, and therefore it's mizonos on alecha again, and if it's mizonos on alecha, so according to Rabbi Kiva, then you'd be allowed to do it, or something like that. You have to come up with some ukim that you could. That's what you could say. But Tosfos is very smooth. Tosfos just says, look, it's a gzera mishum. It's a gzera mishum. Tzeda, so when Tzeda is Aser, so then Machilin is Aser. Tzeda is Mutter, so then it's Mutter as well. Okay, so that's the Shita of Tosfos. Okay, I think we're going to have to stop there. We didn't actually do as few sources, it seems, because we were up to only source 3, but we didn't realize we did the most complicated part of the sheet smack in the middle, right? 12 to 16, which was definitely the most complicated conceptual part. What we're going to see next week is a few things. We're going to see the Ramban's retort to the Balamor, who divorces this whole thing from Ochel Nefesh. And then we're going to see the other ways to read this Mishnah. We've seen two so far. One is that it's a Ochel Nefesh problem, and two is that it is a Gzeira Mishum Tzeda problem. The third, fourth possibilities are going to be Mukta and related issues, like different variations of the Mukta theme or the Tircha theme. That's what we're going to see next week. Like I said, I don't know if we're actually going to... feel like I actually need to read the Halacha L'Maisa thing by Jachter. I just figured if you're curious in how this plays out in terms of pets, I gave you 2 pages. You can look at the whole article if you want, and that's where you can see whether it's mutter to own pets, what pets. I don't want to get into that discussion. It's not our Gemara, but I gave you the link to the article, and you can read Rai Jachter's article on it if you're interested in those topics.
I'll go over this.
Okay.
But my difficulty here is with Rashi. It looks like the Reisha is Rabbi Yossi Kalila of our Mishnah, and the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva.
Rashi is saying, well, yeah, or Afilu. The Reisha is even, yes, is okay. Even. Yeah, yes, I mean, Rashi's playing a bit here. But okay, it's a hard read for many reasons. In a Hanami, there's many reasons. One is this question of who is the authors and gets complicated. And the second is, as Tosfos notes, it's a lot of ukimtas you're going to have to come up with to defend him in the Gemara. In a Hanami, Tosfos is very smooth here. And the truth is that Rashi himself This is his shita here. But the mukta svar isn't just another rishon. It's Rashi. Rashi and Shabbos doesn't understand the sugya this way at all. Rashi and Shabbos is the Bala Memra that talks about mukta and related issues. So Rashi himself, you know, I don't know which one he wrote first. I have no idea. But okay.
Could you throw food into water? Forget fish. Pretend there's no fish. Or we don't know the fish are there. Can you just throw food into water?